Our New Testament text comes again today from the book of Acts, beginning today with chapter 11, verse 19, and reading through verse 30. You can find that in your pew Bibles on page 920 in the blue or 1170 in the red. Hear the word of God. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch the disciples were first called Christians. Now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them, named Agabus, stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. To his name be the honor and the glory forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we've seen all through the book of Acts, as far as we've gone so far, that the gospel has a very strong tendency to break through barriers or boundaries. It all began with Jesus himself, who was himself quite a breaker of boundaries. You remember the previously uncrossable boundary between God and humanity? Shattered on Christmas morning. How about the expectations and the regulations that were thrown up around a rabbi and a holy man by his contemporaries and by his disciples? Knocked down by his many visits with lepers and poor people and tax collectors and sinners? Or how about that biggest boundary of all, that boundary between life and death made impenetrable by sin and estrangement, overcome on Easter morning as though it had never been? Jesus knew about breaking through boundaries, and so it should come as no great surprise to us that the good news about Jesus, nurtured in the community that Jesus had begun, did some boundary breaking of its own in these first few verses, these first few chapters of the book of Acts. On Pentecost, the barrier of speech and language fell before the onslaught of the Holy Spirit. The boundary that had separated Jews from their Samaritan cousins went down too, as Philip brought the gospel to Samaria. Distance, too, which often was an impenetrable boundary in the ancient world, was no match for the gospel either, as in the chariot bound for Ethiopia. Most recently in our reading in Acts, we've seen the gospel shatter the barrier between Jew and Gentile as the Holy Spirit rushed down upon Cornelius and his household under the preaching of Peter. The life of the gospel of the Church of Jesus Christ is one in which old borders or boundaries or separations no longer determine or even seriously impede the establishment or even the expansion of the community, this body of Christ. Well, so far so good. This is all the kind of boundary crossing we can support and feel good about. In fact, as we've seen if it had not been for this boundary crossing of this sort between Gentile and Jew, you and I would not be part of the body of Christ. We're all Gentiles here, I think. In fact, we owe our very identity as Christians to the gate-crashing power and ability of the gospel, and so we celebrate it accordingly. Things get a little more murky, though, when we begin to consider what other borders and boundaries might be threatened by this gospel. Because it turns out that the Holy Spirit is not content to stop with questions about membership. We're delighted, I think, to think about Peter and Cornelius from the distant past as being a part of us. We're delighted to think about far-off Christians in Korea and Kenya or New Orleans or China, wherever, as members in the same great fellowship to which we belong. We even can take comfort in the knowledge that the communion of the saints will continue even when we have departed this life. The community of faith is not bound by time. The communion of the saints extends even to those not yet born. We're happy, it would seem, to claim connections with people in all sorts of places in all sorts of times, but just claiming a connection is not enough. Just saying it does not make it so. If we're really part of the same body, there are real and concrete implications. The Church of Antioch seems to have understood that. Antioch, at that time and place in the ancient world, was a very important place. It was more important than Jerusalem in most ways. It was a crossroads town, a trading center. It was probably not the New York City of that age and time, but maybe the Chicago. Some of the believers who had been in Jerusalem when the persecution began went as far as Antioch. And most of the people, as they went, as the scripture says, proclaimed the gospel mostly to Jews. But here, it seems, that not only did they go to the Jews, who were people like them, who understood them, and where they had found great success often in the synagogues and whatnot. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, they were making disciples. But something special and unusual seems to have happened here in Antioch. We have this gospel being proclaimed by some of the folks to the Gentiles, as well as to the Jews. Non-Jews also were anxious, it would seem, to respond to this truth, to this gospel, and to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. They were ready and anxious to commit themselves to this Jesus about whom they learned. It was in Antioch that people recognized for the first time, apparently, fully, that there was a real difference between the Jews and Christians. Christians were not just a small group within the broader Jewish community, but were indeed something else instead. And so it was here that the new name was needed, and this is the first place that we were called Christians. These Christians were aware of their connection to the church at Jerusalem. The church at Jerusalem was still the church of the apostles, still the recognized core of the Christian faith, the location of authority, if you will, for the church broadly. Barnabas was sent to Antioch as an envoy from the church at Jerusalem. He was sent there to check things out and make sure that this work of the Spirit in Antioch really was the work of the Spirit. And so Barnabas went there and he found that this was in fact the case, and he was filled with joy. And he rejoiced. And he took concrete steps as a result of this. He went to find Paul, still named Saul in this text. And he brought Paul to Antioch, and he and Paul stayed there for a whole year. And they taught many people. See, this new Christian faith, this new being, this new community needed to be nurtured and taught and cared for in its infancy. Although we might expect some commonality between the churches in Jerusalem and in Antioch, perhaps letters back and forth, you might think, maybe some people coming back and forth or the like, Antioch was still a long, long way from Jerusalem, both in terms of physical location and also in terms of culture and the way they understood things. And so there would be no hard line of separation between the two churches, but you could expect there might be kind of a soft frontier, sort of, because of the difficulty of interchange of ideas and such. But Antioch apparently didn't see it that way. There was this famine that Agabus predicted, and it came to happen. It hit across the Roman Empire, but apparently it hit in Judea especially hard. Judea and Jerusalem. The response of Antioch was a sign of connection, not of independence. And I think it would behoove us to look at what this might tell us in our experience of the life of faith and the Christian church today. You know, it's not unusual for us to take up special offerings in this place in one way or another, like the baby bottle boomerang thing that we're doing right now, other things like that. But why should we have expected this to be the way it happened in the first church? The very first time here in Antioch, the very first time that people took up a collection for another bunch as a part of the same church. The church in Antioch could have concluded that they had enough to do in their own place. The famine hit them as well. They could have said, we've got ministry to do with all of our resources. We can keep it local and we can oversee it and we'll make sure it's put to good use and the like. All those things that we hear today. But they didn't take it and keep it at home. They shared it with these people in Jerusalem, these other members of the same body. And you know, that's a good thing that they set that precedent. Because you know how us church people are. You know, if we do something one way once and it works out good, it's hard to ever get it to change. Antioch could have set the precedent for the whole body to keep at home what they had. That could have become normal for the whole church. But that's not the picture of the church that we have in Acts, thank God. The portrait of the church we have here in Acts is a church that recognizes that its brothers and sisters are in need, and therefore they will help. That we share what we have amongst ourselves because we truly are one family in the faith. There's no priority given to the local location. There's no priority to that which is physically closer. You know, God has always been involved in passing the borders, in passing the boundaries. This story from Elijah, from 1 Kings that we read this morning, would have been a shock to the people who heard it first. The shock would not have been the fact that God fed the prophet with ravens, or that he created a brook for him to drink from in the desert, but rather the shock would have been that this prophet of God, the God of Israel, went to the house of a foreign widow to be fed and given drink. And this foreign widow was a person who could not of herself supply what was needed. But the Phoenician widow, while there were undoubtedly many widows in Israel itself that needed help, the Phoenician widow is sustained by this miraculous gift of oil and flour. So you see, it's not just a particular community that is identifiable easily as the people of God in this place or that place, but it is rather for all of God's people that God has this concern to provide and to protect. And so for us, as direct descendants of Antioch, what does this mean? For us to get here as part of this family of faith, as part of the faith of in Christ. For us to get here at all required some shocking surprises, some boundaries that were overturned, many boundaries that were broken down. We also have brothers and sisters in Christ who speak different languages, who have different skin color, who live in different places, whose cultures are utterly foreign to us. How can we live in such a way as to serve them and to share what we have with them? In this place, we've been working on the Kenya partnership with providing the Word of God through our financial support to this small congregation in a large depressed area in the desert of Kenya. We've supported Carrie and Andy Downer in their medical mission work in the Cameroon. There are lots more possibilities. And I would propose to you this day that we are challenged. We are challenged by this example of the saints in Antioch. We are challenged to use our surplus, if you will, and to do so willfully disregarding all of those borders and boundaries which give us such comfort as we look to other people like us. It is the way of this community to which we belong, to reach out to others, to the stranger, to the widow, to the poor, and in so doing, to fulfill the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us therefore so live. Amen.